Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey here with Chris Ballas and Anthony Broom, brought to you by Manscaped, our great sponsors. Anthony will be doing that ad read in just a little bit. It's one of the funnier ones, so stay tuned for that. But the promo code is 20GOBLUE at manscaped.com. It gets you 20% off and free shipping. We are also brought to you by our very own 2022 Michigan Football Preview Magazine, which has been sent out to the printer. It will ship in mid-July. You will get your copy. You'll be reading it on a beach somewhere, but make sure to pre-order it before June 27th, just 4 days left to save $9. You're going to get it anyway. You can get it at the MDN later, but why not get it shipped out first thing, saving that $9? So go to thewolverineondemand.com and get your copy right now. A lot of hard work into that, 160 pages. Tons of great stuff there, as we talked about the last few weeks, and we'll continue to, because we got so much good stuff. But let's start with some football talk. Obviously, the dog days here. We took a couple of questions last week on that front. This week, a little bit of discussion about Michigan and NIL and their whole approach there. Obviously, it's something that really, since this thing launched last year, we've kind of talked about, where Michigan's going to kind of be a little bit slower, play by the books a little bit more. You're seeing the salary caps, as Jim Harbaugh called them on a podcast this week out there, when Ohio State says they need $13 million to keep their team together, or Jimbo Fisher's buying recruits and things like that. And I'm just going to read the quote before I get the reaction from the rest of the guys here. So here's Jim Harbaugh on the Jed Hughes podcast talking about name, image, and likeness and Michigan's approach. He said this, I've said this before, we're still going to maintain that this is going to be a transformational experience, not a transactional experience. What that literally means exactly is we're not going to pay signing bonuses for players to come onto the team. We're not going to pay recruits to sign here. When they get here and they do well, they're going to profit pretty good off of the jersey sales and other examples. And he had previously talked about some of those things, how a lot of players are making money, but it's for the current players. Michigan launched the Champions Circle, which is the NIL collective there, but they are firmly, going to focus on current players and not recruits. I guess, I like that approach. Public messaging is one thing based on what you're, compared to what you're actually doing. I think it's two different things. So Chris, I guess your reaction, you wrote a great column yesterday on this, which I thought was a fantastic read.
I appreciate it. The one thing I'll say is that there are ways to market this, and I don't think they're doing their best job of that by saying, hey, it's basically, because it's going to be used against them on the recruiting trail and has been, saying, okay, well, you don't want to go to Michigan, they're not going to pay you, whereas when you come here, you're going to get paid. And what I wrote yesterday was, you can say, we're not paying you to come here, but our Michigan athletes are making money, will make money, will make more money as they stay here, and these are several examples. And let's not be naive here, guys. A second some of these elite prospects have gotten on campus, they're getting paid. Look at Hunter Dickinson. Look at Will Johnson, for example, is probably raking it in. J.J. McCarthy, I know, is raking it in. Now, they might be talking to people before they get on campus who are saying, hey, we're going to take care of you. But Michigan athletes are going to get theirs. And rather than come out and say, you know what, we're not going to give you money, what I thought Jim Harbaugh should say is, you know what? Our athletes are going to make money. They will make money. They are making money. And so will anybody who comes here. So just packaging it a little bit differently, in my opinion, will be better. So, but I like it because I'm old fashioned, guys. And I've got a couple old souls here. I've got a guy that spews stuff from Bo Schembechler all the time, which is great. I got Anthony Broom, who listens to some of the same music I do. So sorry to out you, buddy, but you know what? Here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing. To me, that's the way it was supposed to be done. And I still talk to guys who played here and say, you know what, my money that I got was my scholarship, and it was more than enough. So you still got that percentage, whether they were black, white, whatever, saying the same thing to me, from the 300, where are they now, as they wrote. And of course, they would have loved a little bit more, But here we are, fellows. It's free agency, and it is what it is. And unfortunately, Michigan's going to have to step it up a little bit to be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I have a little bit of a harder stance on this. I mean, I do think I'll stop short of saying that Michigan's botching the messaging right now, but you know, there is a lot of, let's call a spade. There was a lot of lost momentum earlier this winter and into the spring on the recruiting trail. And I don't think coming out and screaming to the mountaintops that you're not going to, you know, I'm not necessarily, it's not that they're saying the guys aren't going to get taken care of. It's the way it can be spun against them. Right. And I think, I know there's always going to be that, the idea that Michigan's going to do things the right way. They're not going to get into bidding wars, and that's fine. And I think certainly with the infrastructure that's in place, NIL wise and the collectives and the stuff that it's been a slow burn, but it is kind of coming out more and more for the Michigan perspective of things. I mean, you need some momentum on the recruiting trail right now. And the messaging of, you know, we're not going to, and again, Jim Harbaugh, he is a guy that is true to his word. He's going to speak what's on his mind. They don't want guys coming to Michigan just because they're the highest bidder. I think to a certain extent, while it's not the same situation, back in that 2017 class when they brought in a bunch of these blue chip guys that weren't exactly fits. And then you fast forward 5 years after that, and more than half of them never even finished their careers at Michigan. So it's important to have a fit too. I think if last year taught us anything, it's that, you know, outside of talent, like talent is always going to rule over everything, but there's a certain archetype of guy, a team first guy that Michigan's going to go after. And that's not to say that guys that want to get paid and want to profit from their name, image, and likeness are selfish guys or they're not into the team. But I know you said it is where we're at now. Sometimes you have to take the world for what it is, as opposed to, or the sport for what it is, as opposed to what you like it, we would like it to be, or what the good old days were like. Guess what? I'm sorry. I don't want to burst any bubbles. The good old days are gone. And if you want to thump your chest and say that we're going to do it and we're going to win the right way, well, you need to do it a little more than, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, take shots and, you know, don't want to kill the vibe coming off of last year. But if you're going to thump your chest about winning the right way, it has to be more than one win over your biggest rival every 10 years and a Big Ten championship every 17 years. It's great that they did that last year. It's a lot of momentum heading into what feels like could be the second win of the Jim Harbaugh era, but it's not like the only thing that matters now is going out and doing it again. And I just think the messaging behind all this has been, I don't know, it gets the traditionalists fired up. That's what they want to hear. I get it. I sympathize with that in a lot of ways. I just don't, I don't think it's beneficial to them right now to take a hard line stance. I do think that you should be a little more not politically correct, but play it down the middle and show, like, instead of saying we're not going to pay guys to be here, show them what these guys that just, you know, within their first year of the program, like your Donovan Edwards, your JJ McCarthy's, those type of guys, show results. Don't scream to the mountaintops. Show results.
Yeah, I agree with that. And let me say one thing real quick, Clay. I think, again, the athletic department was reactive instead of proactive. And I think a lot was put on the football coaches and some of the boosters who wanted to get involved in the NIL legally to kind of bring this together after this whole thing started. Once it was clear that this was going to be the case, that NIL was going to be a huge factor, you would have loved to see the AD have a plan in place where this is how it's going to work so that we can be a step ahead of the game in recruiting instead of playing catch up. And unfortunately, I think they were in that position again. And now here we are in June. People are wondering where the recruits are. And I think that played a little bit of a role, I'll be honest.
No, I agree with that. And really, even what you're seeing now, the steps they're taking, which, by the way, I think are some big steps, especially in the last couple of weeks, that's been on some of the donors, you know, some of which that we've talked to. Valiant Management, which is doing a great job, you know, with what they can do as kind of a little bit of a third party and, you know, trying to advocate for the student athletes. And I get that NIL, and I'm fully supportive of the NIL rules, you know, not the way some schools are using them, but NIL is kind of on the individual to an extent. So I understand it, but I agree. The athletic department moving a little bit slow there. They're moving slow. It looks like on the baseball search as well, as 8 guys in the transfer portal already. And they just lost another decommitment just before we went on air for the 2023 class. So just worth mentioning there, I guess, as well. So that's kind of where things are at on the NIL front. I will just kind of say one thing about these comments. Like, Anthony, you weren't saying that they were doing this, but in terms of screaming it from the rooftops, he was just asked it on a podcast. He kind of gave his response in context to what was going on around college football. So I understand it a little bit. And then somebody was like, why do they keep saying this when I wrote the article with JJ McCarthy? Well, because I asked him about it and, you know, because he had a response to it. So it's not like they're coming out and, you know, releasing statements or he's calling a press conference like Jimbo Fisher did the morning after he got called out by Nick Saban. This is kind of just kind of in the general news cycle. But I think it's such a hot topic right now that it's getting picked up.
So it's your fault, Clay.
Yeah. So you can blame partly me for doing my job and reporting, but that's basically where we're at, I think, with it. Let's talk real quick before we get to basketball and Joey Baker, who committed one day after we did the podcast last week when we talked about how that was a strong consideration. Let's talk about the New York City event, which did feature Ward Manuel, athletic director, Jim Harbaugh, the head football coach, Juwan Howard, Kim Barnes-Arrico, lots of other coaches in the Michigan athletic department meeting with some of those big time donors. It's kind of funny. You see the pictures from it and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. They still got to go out and do this. This is part of the job as well, to fundraise and get money for their, you know, for their programs and everything else. Meeting with some big time donors, they also were able to share a little bit that Chris, you wrote about earlier, with some intel on what they were talking about.
Yeah, and I love talking to the donors after the fact. And you know, when the message is positive and upbeat, they bring their checkbooks out, right? And when they're getting served caviar or whatever, some of these guys at these events, then even more so. But you know what? They're both really excited, excited about the directions of their programs. Juwan Howard said he wants to see another banner up there, not another big, just a Big Ten championship banner. He said that 1989 banner has been up there all alone for too long, and he wants to add to it. And his message was he's going to see it through. In other words, he wants to be here until he does that. So you guys know how hard it is, man. They've got one in the program's history. So, and it takes some luck. Michigan's been there, what, 7-8 times to the finals and won one of them. So, but in several Final Fours, they get to the final game and either get screwed or something happens, you know. So, but regardless, I thought that was a great message. And he said that Joey Baker and Jalen Llewellyn, I don't know if you mentioned them by name. I don't know that Baker signed yet, but he said that the guys coming in are great fits. Let's put it that way. So I don't want to get him in trouble here in case Baker
signed
him.
They announced.
Okay, there you have. Yep. So there you go. So that's what he said then. Then he did mention him by name. So they're still looking at Yusef Kayat, and he can't mention him. A recruit out of Lebanon is going to commit Sunday somewhere. Michigan's in good shape, but so is Xavier. So you worry about Sean Miller. Always worry about Sean Miller, and it'll be interesting to see. But and then on the football side, Jim Harbaugh laid out the goals: beat the rivals, win the Big Ten, win the national championship. And then talking to guys like DJ Turner, Mike Morris, fellas, they said, you know what, number three was great. We wanted to be number one. We're not satisfied. I believe them. So going to be fascinating to see how it plays out. But Harbaugh looked good, in good spirits, and glad that he's still the coach here, guys, and that we aren't talking about starting over with somebody else, because cohesion and consistency is everything. And they have it this year, and they've got most of the coaches back in place, some new faces too, but this should be a good football team.
Yeah, it's shaping up that way. It's crazy when we talk about the football team, and there's so much going, like people ask me all the time, like, what do you do now that the basketball season's over, that so-and-so is over? It's like, the cycle's always going on. We've got Yusef Kayat stuff out there. We've got the transfer portal stuff. I mean, football preview was, you know, a couple weeks of our lives worth of work. So, yeah, I mean, just the snapshot of all of it, I think that both – it's going to be another fall where I think both the football and the basketball – I think the basketball team, despite what's you know, what they lost and missing on some guys in the transfer portal – I think it's going to be a pretty good team. Especially, you know, if they can find a way to land this Yusef kid, I think, you know, he's someone that I think can probably come in and if not start right away, he's going to give you some really good minutes off the bench and kind of in that same mold as a, you know, of a Franz Wagner in terms of someone who's going to erase, you know, a switchable defender that can erase, you know, someone on that end of the floor while the offense comes around. You know, really excited about the potential of adding that to your lineup, because I think that's the biggest thing that team really missed last year, was someone on the wing who was just, you know, kind of a dynamo defensively. Baker, like I said, if it's just Joey Baker that they walk out of the offseason with from here on out, I mean, okay, he's probably going to give you 15 to 20 minutes a game. But yeah, other than that, so far the news cycle has not slowed down at all. And a lot of these programs are in really good shape, despite some of the stuff that's gone on in the athletic department and with, you know, these coaching searches. So, or these coaching situations. So a lot of positive momentum in a lot of different directions, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Whenever I get that question, what do you guys do now? I'm like, it's Michigan, for God's sakes. There's always something to do. There's always something to cover, as Anthony, you laid out there. Youssef Kiat obviously would be huge. And as Chris, you said, just perfectly. I mean, it's Sean Miller. There's really no other way to say it. So, and he's had success with some foreign guys in the past, and I think that has piqued his interest from reading some of his comments. So that will be interesting in the next several days to see how that plays out.
Hi, this is Jonathan from Lewis Jewelers. If you're in the market for a diamond, we can make the experience easy and stress-free. Not to mention, we can save you time and money. As a general manager, one of my roles is to hand-select every diamond that comes into our store. Don't shop alone. Come see me or one of my trusted advisors and find the perfect diamond today. Where Ann Arbor gets engaged, Lewis Jewelers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I say one thing real quick.
Yeah.
What does it say about Xavier that they hired Sean Miller? You know, I'm sorry. Yeah.
They want to win at any cost. And
it kind of seems that way to me. And for all those, you know, Xavier this, Xavier that, you know what? I've got high school coaches that have told me they know how Xavier's operated for a while and don't have a whole lot of respect for that program. I hate to say it. Probably going to get angry letters from the 15 or 20 Xavier fans that are watching this, but you know what? That's unfortunate. There's no place in the game for a guy like that, and I'll flat out say it.
I agree. I think he should have been banned on the spot, really, with what went down. And it's too bad not more really came out with the whole FBI investigation and things like that. But I agree. And Xavier's kind of in that, you know, you look at where they're at in the country. They're in the Louisville area. They're in that little hotbed down there. They want to win at basketball. College basketball is the number one sport in a lot of cities down there. And I think Xavier's proving that they're serious about winning. We'll see, you know, the way they do it. But that's very interesting. As far as Joey Baker coming in for Michigan, Anthony, you said it. About 15, 20 minutes is kind of what I'm expecting. I was kind of doing a deep dive earlier, and we'll have some more coming out on the site tomorrow, looking at some of his – you know, what he's done, some of his analytics. I mean, he is very much a role player. I mean, all he basically does on the offensive end is shoot jump shots. Over 75% of his shots were jumpers. Last year, looking at the analytics, 4 pick and rolls that he ran, 2 isolations. Everything else was either a spot up, or he actually has some good numbers in transition. Second highest on Duke's team, points per possession. So we're talking about a guy who can run the floor, and I think that's nice. And he is 6'8", so he's going to be able to add, you know, some length there. But he doesn't grade out well defensively. You watch some of the clips there. He's not going to, you know, be a Franz Wagner anywhere near it. And, you know, that's a huge high bar, you know, but somebody like that on the wing that's going to stop guys. But he can shoot. You know, I think I mentioned it last week, 2.2 three-point attempts per game. So that's not a lot. For context, Caleb Houston was around 5 per game last year. Baker shot a little better, though. He's going to have more opportunity, and I think that's kind of what he's looking for, too. So we can't just look at the past and say this is what it's going to be like. He didn't get the opportunity, so I think he's going to get more of that at Michigan. I think it's a really good fit for a team. So he made 30 threes last year. That is more than any guy returning on Michigan's roster made last year. So we're talking about, you know, they needed shooting. He brings shooting. If you can get Youssef Kiat and pair him together, I think that'll be a pretty nice haul for the late summer.
And I believe he's coming off an injury too, isn't he?
He is.
Baker. Yeah. So yep. I got to recover from that. So, you know, we'll see what they get. But I like the fact that Juwan Howard called him a culture fit, number one. That's important. I think that's one of the reasons that they didn't chase Imani Bates harder. And like we said, you know, who knows if they don't get Yusef Kayat, you know, will they go after Imani Bates? I don't think he's committed anywhere still, if I'm not mistaken, Imani. So we'll see. But he's got in mind what he wants his roster to look like. And this is a kid that was a captain at Duke. So he's highly respected. And if he can make some shots, open some things up for Hunter Dickinson, I'm all for it. That's pretty much all I got to say about that. We aren't going to make a bigger deal about it than it is. You know what? It's a body, and it's a guy who can shoot the ball. And if you can come in and give him a couple threes a game, fellas, you know what? That's something that really they were missing at times last year.
Far too often. I mean, just mm-hmm. a consistent shot maker. I mean, you could have and again, it's not a one-to-one comparison. I'm not saying he's going to come in and fill the same role, but you know, when Caleb Houston scored his points, it seemed like they all came in like 6, 7, 8 games. They came in bunches, and then they were gone. I think Joey Baker is going to be a guy that, you know, maybe he's just like, I think ideally he's like a late stage Duncan Robinson, where he's a guy that comes off the bench, gives you 6, 7, 8 points a game, but he's going to make the most of his opportunities and not be a net negative for you on the defensive end of the floor. So I don't think it's a, if you want to say it slightly lower or raises the floor of the team, fine. I don't know that it necessarily raises the ceiling, but you know, it certainly takes a little pressure off of a guy like Isaiah Barnes, who, you know, if you were to miss on everyone, that guy was going to have to play a lot. And I still think he's probably a year or two away in terms of his development. So, it fills a need. It's a culture fit. I think the Imani Bates stuff is dead, even if they miss on Yusef Kayat. I really do. Like, this is a strong opinion. I think if they miss on him, your team is on the floor for next year. And I think that's how I approach it, too.
Yep. No doubt. So I'm excited for this. Before we just quickly touch on the NBA draft, Anthony is going to read this Manscaped read. The floor is yours.
All right. Well, gentlemen, all men strive for gold in their life, right? Gold medals, gold watches, gold everything. However, there's a certain type of man who goes the extra mile. He walks with the confidence of an eagle. He giggles in the face of danger. And he's a big, hairless winning machine. And when he unzips his pants, he sees platinum. That's right. Manscaped would like to introduce you to their best and biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet, the Platinum Package 4.0. Manscaped is the leader in below-the-waist grooming. And now you trust them with the whole shebang. You join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped like the three of us do with our lives. By going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code 20GOBLUE. You can correct me on that. I believe that's the code. It's not inserted in the read.
Insert code here. Yeah.
Insert code here, 20GOBLUE. So there you go. Platinum Package 4.0. You heard it here first.
Got it. Fantastic. Great stuff. Can't wait to get the latest and greatest, fellas. And so
always.
Got it for Father's Day again for a couple of people, and just fantastic.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, looking. I had to mute you guys so I didn't like get the church giggles while I was singing it. So singing the praises of Manscaped. So
you did a hell of a job.
That was a great job.
I got to put on the professional coat every once in a while. But yeah, we love them. I feel like I've been saying this for a while. A little bit low on supplies here. Might have to get a platinum package for myself, but we love working with them. And Clayton, any thought? Usually you throw it to me after that. What's, you have any Manscaped testimonial to share?
Well, I'll just say it was a fantastic read. They are a fantastic company. always hooking us up. I'm sure that next package is on its way probably for us. And, you know, you can't beat it. Free shipping and 20% off. They're everywhere now. I think I've said it before, but when we started doing the reads, it was either 2 million or 3 million men worldwide. It's already up to 4 or 5, whatever it is. So very, very trusted, and they're growing. So it should be, perfect match for us. Let's talk NBA draft a little bit. People could be listening to this after the fact, so we may sound stupid. I definitely always do, so it's really not much of a switch up for me. But Caleb Houston, Musa Diabate looking to get picked tonight. Houston has been that guy. It's been such an interesting situation for him where There's rumors he has a guarantee. That's why he opted out of the combine. Musa did well at the combine, especially testing and doing all the jumps and everything like that, as you kind of expected he would. But there's still a lot of concerns, I think, from people out there about what he is as a basketball player right now, and that matters quite a bit, as we know. He could be late second round. Caleb could sneak into the end of the first. That would be the guarantee coming to fruition. Otherwise, I think it's second round. Caleb probably has a better chance to get picked than Musa at this point. It didn't seem like it was going to be that way at the early in the process, but here we are.
Yeah, I think Caleb Houston's a second round pick at best, and I wish him all the best. You know what? The kid was always great with us, and I know people were ripping on him for his decision. Like I told his family, he always was first class in his dealings with us, whether it was a bad game, a good game. And I think his best ball is ahead of him. I think there's a lot of pressure on him because a lot of people thought he was going to be a one and done. And he kind of played like that at times, let's be honest. You know, so maybe it's going to be better for him when he's looser and he can let it fly and play with the kind of confidence that we've seen him play with in high school and on the world stage. So, but at this point, you know, as scouts have said, he's got to improve in a lot of areas. He's not a great athlete. He's going to have to get better foot speed to defend. He's got to, you know, and more than anything, he's got to make a shot. So with Diabate, he's still so raw that it's going to be a couple of years. And that's why I think a lot of teams are thinking about not drafting him. You know, they're thinking about returns. And if your returns aren't going to come, you know, for 2 or 3 years, do you really want to take him and develop him and then have him go somewhere else? And you know, where his career is going to take off. So I think shooting wise is where he really needs to improve. It's still a shooter's game, guys. Watching the NBA Finals, you know what? It's dribble drive, kick it out, three, dribble drive, kick it out, you know. So, and he can't shoot right now, flat out. So he needs to get better there. So both great kids in their dealings with us. You wish he'd had him for another year here at Michigan, but wish him all the best.
Yeah, I would echo all that. And I actually hit on that when I wrote about them earlier today in our little draft preview. I mean, they both, especially Caleb, I don't think that's a guy who lacks confidence in himself in those media settings. He was always calm, cool, collected, really just an exceptional dude to talk to. I really enjoyed when we would, you know, speak with him after games. But there was like an unease about him on the floor. He didn't always look confident. He didn't look, quite frankly, he didn't look ready. And to now go to the NBA where not only – you know, you're going to be drinking from the fire hose a bit. Like, they can only protect you so much. These are the best athletes in the world. The shooting form looks good to me. The shots didn't go. I mean, they would go in bunches, but it was too inconsistent. I thought he was tentative and looked a step slow at times on the defensive end of the floor. But, you know, I thought if he returned to school, there was a chance he could take like a Jaden Ivey type of leap. Now, those guys are not even the same universe in terms of athleticism and potential, but yeah, for both those guys. And for Musa, like I said, I feel like all I'm doing is harping on them, but this is what the tape says they are as basketball players. Musa is, I've said this a million times on here, he's a phenomenal athlete for his position. But right now, you turn on the film and he's not a good basketball player. And he's probably going to be someone that a team is going to love to stash on their G League team. And you hope that 2-3 years down the road, he could be a rotational guy for you. But I think obviously between the two, I think Caleb Houston has a shot to be a legitimate like rotational guy in the NBA, especially if he goes and plays for a team that has a lead guard that can distribute the basketball and find guys for open looks from the perimeter. But there's a lot of growing up to do for both of them. And for whatever reason, the opportunity became available for them to explore that at a pro level. And I hope like hell that there are two teams that are willing to give them both a shot to play, because I think that you are adding a couple good character guys to your room. And really, that's mostly been the case. I mean, overwhelmingly been the case for the Michigan guys that come out. They're incredibly easy to root for, even when they don't play so well, you know, towards the end of their Michigan careers, looking at you, Jordan Poole. So, yeah, best of luck to those guys. I don't think there's a future all-star in here. Do I think the next Duncan Robinson or Jordan Poole is in here somewhere? I don't think so, but I do think that there are a couple guys that will probably be playing pro basketball for at least the next 5 years or so.
And I'll say this as a friend of yours, Anthony, I hope someone clips that in 5 years and one of them's an all-star. And so I wish them all the best. It's hilarious commenting on draft stuff because it can always come back to bite people. We've seen
it's such, that's the thing too. I mean, not to cut you off. It is such a crapshoot. Like,
yeah,
everything would have told you that Trey Burke was going to be a star in the NBA. He wasn't. He's the 12th guy on the bench right now in Dallas. And on the flip side, no one thought Jordan Poole would be what he was. No one thought that Duncan would be what he was. So it's just, it's a weird sport, man. So I'll be the first to eat crow if something happens. But again, at the end of the day, just two really good guys that are easy to root for.
For sure. Wishing them all the best. I'll just leave the people with a couple numbers. Michigan has had 9 first round picks since 2013. That's 4 more than any other Big Ten team. Michigan State and Indiana at second with just 5. 13 picks overall. So Musa Diabate and Caleb Houston could be the 14th and 15th in that same time span. So Michigan has done, as we all know, a outstanding job at producing NBA talent under John Beilein and Juwan Howard. They're keeping it going. So enjoy the draft, everybody, and we'll talk to everyone next week.